Join me in John chapter 5. This will be our Bible reading in the coming week. So I wanted us to take our thoughts from this text as we prepare for the table. John 5. The chapter opens with Jesus performing a miracle. He heals a man. And then is criticized by his adversaries for healing on the Sabbath, a silly charge, really. But it is a pattern, right, that's repeated over and over again through the gospel accounts. Jesus performs miracles and his enemies find some silly way to try to dismiss it. What follows in chapter 5, at least in part, is Jesus' response to their criticism. And I want to read a portion of this beginning in verse 19. Will you look there with me? The text says, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them," this is his critics, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son also gives life to whomever he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. Just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life, those who did evil deeds to the resurrection of death." One of the things that I think Jesus is trying to do here is to get his critics to appreciate what is at stake in their decision about him. And the way he will describe that here is by saying it is literally a choice between life and death. Note how many times those two words are used just in the few passages that we considered here. Is there a more vivid way to describe the struggle? Life and death. I think for me and you, it is language that is that immediately grabs our attention, doesn't it? It is language that says this is no trivial matter. It is a matter of the greatest importance. Even we speak that way when we speak of choices that are consequential. We describe them as matters of life and death. Makes sense, doesn't it? Death is our greatest fear, humanity's greatest fear. For most, they are so terrified of death, they do their level best every single day to try to put that far from the mind. Let me occupy myself with anything but the thought of life's end. A futile endeavor, really, but nonetheless, most try. And we will do whatever it takes to forestall it, for as long as possible. Expensive medications, painful treatments and surgery, if in the end it will, and we know this, only extend life a little more. It's worth it. If I could put off death just for a little while longer. And yet, we know, don't we, that death isn't the worst thing. That it is spiritual death, and he talks about that here. Being separated because of sin, separated from God, separated from the source of spiritual life. This is the greatest human tragedy. And it is our dread of death that I think makes us long for life. And in the passages we just read, did you notice how often Jesus spoke about life? He's trying to say that those who were rejecting him, you're rejecting life, because that's what Jesus offers to us. Life, life in every way. I think obviously and most immediately, it is spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. He would say that if we would hear his word, we can live. Escape the separation from God because of our sins. Be reconciled to God again and live. But there's more than that. He offers true life after death, and he talks about that here too. Eventually, no matter how hard we try, death is going to win. But the good news, an element of the good news in the gospel is that even though we physically will die, we will one day be victorious over death and the grave. We will rise and rise to be with God rather than to face eternal death. Punishment. Disciples have a glorious future, and we know that it's real because it is drawn from the living Savior who was victorious over death. In fact, Jesus even offers us true life right now during this part of the journey. He will later say in John 10 and verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The reality is that serving Jesus is not just about the retirement benefits at the end. The truth is, brothers and sisters, the only way to really live life now in a way that matters, the only way to have true life while we're here is by making the journey with him. And so we come to the table. As we do that, I invite you to consider the stakes. As we share this meal, we celebrate because Jesus delivered us from death. And we celebrate because in every way in him we live. And at the same time, we grieve because our life, the price for that was his death.